So the TGA have planned to withdraw the prolapse mesh devices that are implanted transvaginally, and their cancellation is going to take place in January 2018. I do believe this means that the products are still going to be available for use until then, so hospitals can still order the products, which means women can still be implanted with them up until that point in time.
And would you imagine that would happen, though, under the circumstances and this decision made today?
I do, actually. I do imagine that this will happen because the urogynae surgeons believe in these products and they want to continue implanting them. So they will continue implanting them until there comes a time that they're not allowed to anymore.
So, Kaz, just to be clear, to clarify for us, is it just one particular device that's been banned here?
Yes, it's the devices for prolapse mesh, but there is a difference between two types of prolapse meshes in the way that they're implanted. So there's transvaginally and then there's abdominally. So it's really important to understand that the prolapse meshes for that are placed abdominally are not going to be taken off the market. They're still going to be allowed to be used. And also the midurethral sling for stress urinary incontinence, which is placed transvaginally and abdominally, they are still going to be allowed to be used. So it's really only one type of mesh and the type of surgery.
And just say that for us again, which one will be banned as of next year?
So the one that will be banned is the prolapse mesh that is implanted transvaginally. And also there is one sling called a mini sling. I can't remember the exact name of it, but that is also being withdrawn from market. And there is actually a study going on in the UK at the moment where about 600 women have been had this mesh placed, and that mesh has been cancelled in Australia.
So all right.
Very good news.
So you don't think the decision goes far enough? What would you have liked to have seen here?
Well, I would like to have seen a blanket ban on all mesh, but I do understand that there are certain women who have prolapses which are agonising and are very problematic for their lives, where there is no other way but mesh. Now, this has not come from me. This has come from a urogynecologist that I've spoken to. So I do recognise that maybe there is a need for a very specialised area where, you know, women are really suffering. But the problem is, even if that takes place, that and the woman has severe complications from the mesh, that the mesh can't be fully removed. So, you know, I'm really in two minds about it, but I really would like the midurethral sling banned for stress incontinence, because stress incontinence is not... I want them banned because they do cause permanent damage. They are life-changing in the complications that women can have from them. So women can get infections, and they can actually be get nerve damage even just by the way that it's placed, because it is a blind procedure. And the way that it's placed is through these really awful-looking trocars that go through the groin for the TVTO, and nerves can actually be damaged while it's being placed. So that is a danger in itself. And those instruments are actually a Class 3 instrument by the FDA in America, which I'm assuming will be the same as here with the TGA, because they are... because they are a high risk, so Class 3 is high risk. But yet the tape itself is not considered high risk, but that is actually changing as well in the next couple of years.
On ABC Radio Perth, catching up with Kaz Chisholm this afternoon. She's the founder of the Australian Pelvic Mesh Support Group, talking about vaginal mesh implants and the regulator, the Therapeutic Goods Administration, finally acting on some of the concerns and banning some of these devices. Now, Kaz, even though you're not happy. In your opinion, it hasn't gone far enough. Is there still a sense of vindication about the decision made by the regulator?
There is. The women who have been injured by emission plants are celebrating this day because, you know, they feel that finally we're actually being heard, and that's really important to women who are injured by mesh. It's about being heard. You know, it's about the TGA recognising that these devices can be catastrophic, and, you know, that to us that is a big win, yes. So, you know, we do applaud the TGA for doing this, but we would like them to just take it a few steps further, and we would really like them to look into the midurethral sling for stress incontinence, because we don't believe that the stress incontinence slings are the gold standard. And I do know from doing polls in the group that women are equally damaged from the stress incontinence meshes as they are from the prolapse meshes.
How many people would still have these devices?
The prolapse or the stress incontinence?
Well, both. I mean, just talking about the procedure that's been done, just to give us an idea of the amount of people in our community that are sort of going through some of the terrible situations they are currently as a result of having these implants?
Well, it's believed that about 150,000 women are implanted, but we can't estimate how many women are injured by the devices, because a lot of the doctors and the specialists aren't recognising their complications as mesh-related. But when they join the support group, that's when they find out that their complications are identical to other women's in the group. So it's really hard to tell, but there has been estimated in some studies up to 15% of women are injured from these devices, which is way too high.
So what advice would you have for them?
For the women who are injured?
Yes.
Oh, well, it's difficult. I mean, they need to get their devices removed. That's another problem in Australia, finding surgeons who can fully remove these devices is almost impossible. Most surgeons are doing partial removals and leaving the women with more complications. And RANS COG state that partial removal are an acceptable form of treatment, but I don't actually know of any women who have had partial removal who are relieved from their symptoms. In fact, they have ongoing infections, they have ongoing UTIs, they have ongoing pain. So partial removal to me is actually a dangerous procedure, and really the best way is full removal. But women are only able to get that if they go over to America to see an international removal surgeon over there who does full removals. And I think about 25 women have gone over there so far.
Now, the Senate inquiry hasn't reported back yet. The class action is still going. What are you hoping the future brings for you and your support group?
I would actually like this international surgeon to be able to come to Australia. I have a feeling that he's not going to be very welcomed here, judging by what RANS COG has said. They don't understand why women are going to America for full removal, so that tells me they're probably not that interested in bringing him here. I would like to have the midurethral slings completely banned. I don't want them used anymore. And I think that, you know, women, it would be better for women to find support groups and a way of dealing with their stress incontinence rather than, you know, wanting everything fixed. We're such a, you know, Mr. Fix-It society. We have to have everything fixed, and surgeons have the same attitude. And I think that we could just learn ways of adapting to living with these consequences of childbirth, you know, rather than having these awful implants put in us and risking destroying our lives for life.